we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. Appreciate you being a part of the program and a part of American Family Association and American Family Radio, and for just being a good citizen out there, someone that's willing to take action. I know you wouldn't be listening to this show unless you were that kind of person. So thanks for doing that, and be looking for some things that you hear me talk about today that you can actually take action on. If you want to be a part of the program, the phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Where to start? So much good news, so many things that we could zero in on. It is an absolute slugfest in Washington, D.C. right now as Elon Musk and Doge continue to find things to cut. And I get the fact that there's naysayers out there going, yeah, but what's $1 billion? What's $100 million? What's $19 million, in a $6 trillion budget? And I get it. Those are rounding errors in the entire budget. But isn't it nice to finally have some of those things be called out and cut? I mean, we've had to watch Rand Paul and others make the list and talk about the absurdity of these expenditures for years and years and years. And I love Rand Paul for doing that and others. There's been lots of good folks that have done that for us. But every time we hear those lists, we just have to shrug and go, yeah, that's nuts. Why are we spending money on drag queens in Uganda or wherever they were? They're all over that we're funding. Why are we paying for these absurd studies that Anthony Fauci had us doing on the homosexuality of transgender of rats or dogs or whatever else he was doing? It's just silly stuff. And every time that stuff would get exposed, we'd be like, that's terrible. That's crazy. Why is that happening? Pass the salt. You know what I mean? It's like we had to listen to that. It had to be exposed, but then the votes were there to support it. Or the votes weren't there to stop it. And there was no one willing to stand up and say, enough is enough, and I have the power to put a stop to this. So for me, even these little victories, I mean, I'm looking at some of these are like, I don't know, here's one for, $26 million in executive coaching over at NASA. Or $500,000 in executive coaching or strategic communication. Let's just look at a couple of these smaller ones. There was $101 million in DEI-related training grants from the Department of Education. So, in other words, and I remember reading this one late last night, it was, just this absurd, we're gonna be training people on how to be, how do you understand the oppressed and how do you understand how to recognize privilege and all this other Marxist baloney. $101 million. Think about what could have been done with that money, let alone the fact that that's your money, that should not be, it shouldn't be, I mean, not only is it your money being wasted, it's not just being wasted, it's being used to weaponize our education system against the American value system. It's educating teachers and administrators and then kids on the very Marxist ideology that undermines everything that we believe in, everything that this nation was built upon, everything that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of happiness, not the redistribution of happiness, that the pursuit of happiness is all about. Everything that truth, justice, and the American way is all about. So it's not just that you're finding this money and seeing that it's wasted. You're taking a weapon out of the enemy's hands. You're taking a bullet out of the gun of the enemy. So $9 million in contracts at the Department of Agriculture for women in Forest Carbon Initiative mentorship programs. I mean, Central American Gender Assignment Consultant Services. It's obviously stuff that you go, that is not a proper function of government. Never should have been spent in the first place. But what's $9 million out of $6 trillion? It's a sliver. It's a tiny amount of money in the big scheme of what they're spending. But it's a bullet. It's a bullet taken out of the gun. It's a gun taken out of the hands of the enemy. I mean, it matters. It matters. And it gives us hope that we can actually win some of these things. So I don't, you know, it doesn't, these people that are saying it's not enough, it's too little, of course it's not enough. But it's not that it's too little. Every penny counts. Remember when we used to say that? And speaking of pennies, I love the fact that the president's going to save us $179 million in not printing or not making pennies anymore. I mean, that's been overdue for 50 years. But, you know, so every penny does count. Every dollar counts. Every program, it matters what they're doing right now. And so I'm thankful. I love this Doge fight. This is a long time coming. I would love to have a ringside seat every day to every bit of this. And frankly, we get that. We get to do that. I mean, as long as you're listening to At the Core, you're going to get a ringside seat. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Walker. Tuesdays and Thursdays with me. But throughout the week, you get a chance to hear about some of these. And I'm going to keep highlighting them. You know, some of them are larger. I mean, we're starting to get into some of the billion-dollar numbers and some of the, you know, programs that hopefully will be completely defunded. I mean, there's a lot of these things that need to just go away completely. Department of Education, a perfect example, $300 billion at the Department of Education, nearly $300 billion. So we'll get there. And I do think they're going to move, continue to move lightning speed. I mean, we're not even a month into this, folks. We're what, 3 weeks? We're in our third week or beginning our fourth week? I mean, this is faster than I thought would happen. And some of the things that President Trump has been willing to do, that Elon Musk has been willing to point out. And for all of these Democrat whiny, you know, wusses out there that are just crying, I mean, like the world has come to an end, it's because their world is coming to an end. Their little fiefdoms with all their little kitties that they have, you know, big kitties, a billion-dollar kitty, this isn't just a cookie jar with a few dollar bills or a few quarters in it, you know, that's your last-minute opportunity when you're getting ready to go buy a pack of gum. No, these are billions of dollars that these Democrat politicians and Republican politicians and bureaucrats have had as their little fiefdoms for years and years and years. And so this threatens their very way of life. This is draining the swamp. Now, right now, we're taking a little teaspoon thing and we're, you know, scooping out a teaspoon at a time of the swamp. We got to ramp it up. I get it. We will. But it's good victories. We're headed in the right direction is my point. So I think we should be celebrating and then looking for even bigger ones to cut, and I believe that Doge will do that. So hats off to Elon Musk and the entire team. And can I just say, I mean, look, I know we're a Christian program, Christian broadcast, Christian radio network, and you know, you take a guy like Elon Musk, who's not a Christian, he calls himself a cultural Christian, so at least he recognizes the value of Christianity in the culture. But you know, God does this. He does this. Think about Cyrus and Artaxerxes and all these others throughout the Old Testament that were, you know, secular and probably did some crazy evil stuff, to be honest with you. But God used them and used them for the righteous. It's the same as storing up riches of the wicked for the righteous. And so in the same way, you have a guy here that I don't think is wicked. I think actually he's someone that's being used for a lot of good, and frankly, I think is on a journey to find the Lord. I think this is a guy that very much is smart enough that as he reads and studies and absorbs, I watched the evolution of Elon Musk's politics over the last 3 years go from a what he self-described leftist, okay, called himself a leftist on the Joe Rogan program, self-described leftist, go from being a self-described leftist to the COVID insanity, causing him to recognize the improper role of government, preventing him from opening and his operation, his Tesla operation and others being able to operate, caused him to move so much of that to Texas. And then as he got here and he was around the politics of Texas more and more, he became more and more conservative. And then, of course, truly radicalized when they transitioned his kid and he began to see the evil of secularism, frankly, and no concept of right and wrong and where that goes. And then, of course, the more he got involved with MAGA and began to see what real leadership is like. And then, as he has said, the moment when they tried to assassinate President Trump and he got shot and he gets up and says, fight, fight, fight. I mean, all of those things led him to where he is now. And here's a guy, richest guy on the planet, you know, sleeping on the floor somewhere in D.C., I read, to do what he's doing right now. And basically, I mean, already just a miraculous mind that God gave this guy to be able to do, you know, Starlink and Tesla and all of the things that he's doing at the exact same time. I mean, running these multi-billion dollar companies, it's just remarkable. And then to take time from that to master these things that other people spend their whole life just trying to get a little bit of a handle on. I watched him in the last 3 years go from a leftist to a Milton Friedman, you know, conservative, and even sharing Milton Friedman videos in his on X, and actually grasping the conservative, grasping economics to the point that he truly understood what the policies are that produce a good economy and produce freedom. All of which self-interest. I mean, Mark Twain was right. Everything you do for yourself first. Also that because he wants to colonize Mars and he knows he needs a good economy to do that and he needs a free economy to do that and competition and a good education system and all of those things. So, I mean, he absorbed all that information and to figure out what produces a good society so that I can fulfill my dream of colonizing Mars and came down on the right side of that, has been educating Americans through his Twitter app or through his ex, as he shares things, he's educating people on economics and policy and all these things. And so all of that to say, I don't think the guy's going to be able to go down the rabbit hole of studying religion and studying right and wrong in a society without coming to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God, that he was raised from the dead, that he did do the things that he said he would do. And I see in a very real path to Elon Musk coming around on that as well. But while he is even before he gets there, he is being used by God to restore our nation and to uncover evil and to uncover the corruption in Washington, D.C. And so whether, I don't know how he's doing this, I don't know enough about the technology with this handful of young wizards and how much they're using AI to search all these data banks and all the expenditures and whatever they're doing, it's working. Whatever they're doing, it's working to not only find the waste and find the corruption and the expenditures and all the people that have had their hand in the government till, but then to win the public opinion on this. So as they're sharing it, as they're pushing it out, you see this groundswell of people. And so then you get the phone calls to Congress that are necessary to get them to back this up. Because this battle is going to be a multifold battle to make the DOGE changes happen. So President Trump has certain discretion that he can do for the executive branch and how these expenditures are done. You've got these judicial efforts, these rogue judges that are trying to call the shots themselves and prevent him from being able to do that. You've got this old impoundment act of 71 or 72, whenever it was, that they're trying to use to prevent the government from preventing the wasteful spend. I mean, prevent the president from preventing the wasteful spending. And so, you know, that's going to get challenged on its constitutionality. And so that's actually a good thing. I just interviewed Congressman Eric Burleson. Maybe we'll share that later today or on Thursday. But we were talking about the fact that actually these judges doing these injunctions might actually be good because it's a fast track to get to the Supreme Court. And hopefully the Supreme Court will say, what are y'all talking about? Of course the president has the power to stop a wasteful spending. Of course, the president has the power to prevent some of this, these crazy expenditures that Congress never actually specifically said go do. And of course, the president has the power to hire and fire anyone and everyone in the executive branch. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a challenge. That's certainly the constitutional view. I mean, if you read the Constitution, the president's in charge of the executive branch, and should be able to manage how that money is spent, who's needed to spend that money and manage that money, I mean, all of those things. That's the purview of the president. So these executive orders, if they're part of the executive department or executive branch, are constitutional. All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. The phone number, if you want to call in, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Stay with us here on At the Core.
Have you heard of the Freedom Trail in Boston? Well, we're going to see it in October. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's our new trip that we've got planned for 2025 is Boston and the surrounding area and all the history there. Again, that's in October. We're also going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're doing that in June and September. And then back-to-back with that is a visit to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And along with us on all these tours will be Stephen McDowell, the president of the Providence Foundation, a very influential and well-known historian, Stephen McDowell. So for information on any of these trips that I've just mentioned, go to the website wildmangroup.com, WILDMON.com. And we'd love for you to come with us.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. I don't know if any of you out there watched the Super Bowl. I have boycotted NFL since the whole, you know, Black Lives Mafia, Maoist. I used to love my Cowboys, man. I love the Dallas Cowboys back in the 80s and even in the early 90s. And I just lost interest as it got more and more political. And then, of course, the whole COVID thing and then, you know, the complete meltdown of becoming anti-American. However, we have a bunch of kids, you know, living with us here at the Patriot Academy campus, and some of them wanted to watch the game, and some of our staff wanted to watch the game, and so we put it on the big screen in we have a legislative hall here at the Patriot Academy campus that we just built. It's a big house chamber with a huge screen, so great for watching a sporting event. And so we put it on, and I decided to go up there and, you know, hang out with the kiddos and be there. And I have to tell you, I feel like I need a shower. I feel like I need to go to confession, and I'm not Catholic, and not because of any of the ads or the halftime show or any of that, because I actually found myself cheering for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now that's like sin. I mean, in my household where I grew up, you have gone to the dark side. You have basically said, I'll join Darth Vader here. I mean, you have given in to the Emperor for the Star Wars fans out there. I mean, it is. I felt awful. But I had to do it. I just couldn't help it. Travis Kelce, Pfizer boy, was it Aaron Rodgers? I can't remember which Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre called him Pfizer boy. And I had to cheer against Kelce. And look, there were good. There were some great guys on both sides. I know that have wonderful Christian, you know, testimonies and give the Lord all kinds of great, not just throwing a bone to the Lord kind of thing that you typically get in the athletic world, but some really good, I thought, statements. So you know, that part was kind of cool. But I did. I cheered for the Philadelphia Eagles, and so I am. I don't know what my penance needs to be to get past that. But I will say this: I was hoping for. I bought the lie. There was a rumor going around on Twitter that Elon Musk was spending some of his own money to buy ads to advertise for what Doge was doing. It was all a scam. No, he never did that. It wasn't him. I should have seen through that. So I actually watched for that. That was my main reason for going up there. And so I ended up watching the commercials, hoping to see that. And here's the good news. The marketers know that the game has changed. The marketers know that the shift in America is real, and 90% of the ads, at least that I saw, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but 90% of the ads had a totally different feel than last year, 2 years, 3 years ago, from what I had seen and watching on YouTube after the fact and what other people talked about. What did you see? What did you see Sunday night? And I'd love to hear from you. Which ones were your favorite ads? You saw families. You saw babies. You saw a celebration of babies and families and hard work ethic and America. And it was pro-America. And it was Lauren Daigle saying America the Beautiful. And you know, President Trump got cheered for whenever they were doing the national anthem and they showed him. And And Brad Pitt has this opening bit that I missed when I went up there. My son said, "You got to watch that thing with Brad Pitt." Went back and watched it on YouTube, and wow! I mean, it was pro America. Now there was, you know, a couple things here and there. No doubt there was a goofy Nike, you know, ad that, I mean, Riley Gaines's ad was so much better that actually protect women in sports. Nike had this goofy, you know, women are better than men, basically, ad. And then you had that goofy NFL ad that was kind of the same thing. You know, this girl ends up beating all these guys in football. Give me a break. And so there was still some of the woke stuff and the crazy stuff. But 90% that I saw was great. I mean, it was funny. It was patriotic. It was America. I mean, even seeing the Budweiser, you know, Clydesdale ads felt like it was getting back to the good stuff. And so anyway, all that to say, all that means, and the reason that I would even talk about it, is because it's an indicator that the marketers know. They know. You're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. They know what the market wants. And they know that the tide has shifted. And so they had to. They didn't do it because they wanted to. I can tell you. They did it because they knew that's what the market wanted. And they knew that the audience was sick of all of this woke nonsense. So they left a little bit of it in there. And then whoever at NFL chose this guy for the halftime show, I mean, clearly they wanted that to be as, you know, I don't even know what to call it. I don't know if you call it left wing. I don't know if you call it. I mean, Samuel Jackson is a liberal for sure. I did think that was funny, though, when he stood up and said, "I'm your Uncle Sam." Get it, Samuel Jackson. And he was dressed as Uncle Sam. And that part was kind of funny. But he was right when he said that's too ghetto. That's what Samuel Jackson says in the little bit. That's too ghetto. I think he's making fun of people like me that think it was too ghetto. But it was. It was ghetto. I mean, come on. You couldn't understand what the guy was saying. There was not a single, you know, this is for all the racists out there that are always looking at how many white people versus how many black people, how many Hispanic people. We got red, white, yellow, black, and brown. Is everybody represented? Does everybody have equal number? Yeah, all that. But there wasn't a single white person. In fact, I don't think it was only black people in the entire halftime show. So, I mean, is that not against their own rules? I mean, these are the people that made the rules of what it's supposed to be. And I literally couldn't understand. The only line I understood out of all of it was something to the effect of, it's a revolution, but you chose the wrong guy. And I did read a couple of posts later that was definitely this kid, whoever he was, singing the song. That, you know, he's an anti-Trumper, so that was his way of saying that. And my understanding is he's pro-abortion, has done some pro-abortion ads where he actually wears crown of thorns and mocks Christ. And so anyway, not a fan at all of the halftime show. You know, pick something that you know is going to be a little bit more unifying in terms of, you know, the nation. I mean, my goodness, I went back and watched Michael Jackson and his halftime shows, which were incredible. I thought he was amazing. I even went and watched Prince's halftime show and Purple Rain. And you know, here's a dude that went out and played the guitar in the rain. So much better. So, yeah, go take me back, man, to the 80s. Maybe I'm just old. I don't know, to the 80s and 90s. Even the one, what was the one where the guy's wearing the Dallas Cowboys shirt? Was it Creed or one of those 80s, 90s rock bands, Take Me Higher? I can't remember. Anyway, and the dude's like, you know, I mean, that was a good show. That was, you could actually understand what the guy's singing. You know, I don't know, Carrie Underwood? Maybe in New Orleans. Okay, enough of that. I don't know. If you've got a thought on the Super Bowl, you're more than welcome to call. Tell me I'm wrong. You know, it's fine. You can call with your comments, questions, insults. It's all good. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. But all in all, the good news is that Travis Kelce lost, and that the, you know, Super Bowl ads, for the most part. I mean, even the Secret Service ad. Oh, wow. That one was awesome. I mean, I wanted to stand up and salute. I wanted to go sign up and join the Secret Service. It was great. So think about the change from just a few months ago, where you had the DEI hire running the Secret Service and even saying on the Secret Service website their goal was diversity, equity, inclusion, which means you didn't earn it and you're getting chosen purely for your sexual organs and the color of your skin, which is, of course, racist and sexist and wrong. From that to this awesome ad that was all about not what is the color of your skin, not what are your sex organs, but can you protect the president? Can you do a good job? Are you proud to be an American? Are you willing to lay down your life for your friend? for your fellow countrymen, for whoever it is that you're protecting that day. Oh, it was great, man. That ad was fantastic. Made you want to stand up and shout and salute. So all in all, I thought, you know, much, much better and just an indicator of where we are as a country and the fact that this thing is going in the right direction, and the marketers absolutely know that. No doubt about it. Okay, let's head to the phones. 888-589-8840. First up is Susan in Pennsylvania. Susan, let me see if I can find the right button here. Okay, you are... Oh, wait. Okay, guys, if y'all can connect Susan, my application closed. So I'm rebooting.
Hello.
Hey, Susan, go ahead. I can hear you.
Hey, Rick. Funny, I called to comment on your previous comment right before you went to break about the executive branch, but let me first say I am in Pennsylvania. I have to comment on your Super Bowl piece there.
Don't tell me you're an Eagles fan. Tell me you're a Steelers fan at least.
Wait. I'm up here with a Tony Schuper. I'm one of the audit the vote voters. So anyway, I've called you before, but first of all, I have two sons, and so to connect with them, I've always been, connected in with their NBA and their sports and all that.
Right.
But when 2020 hit, and I am a federal employee, so I am going to circle. I am going to go back to my original comment in a minute, but. So when you kneel on my flag, I just couldn't. No, sorry. When you have Black Lives Matter all over your basketball court and say her name or whatever it was, forget it. Was done. Was totally done with sports. Couldn't handle it. Was repulsed by it. Now I've gradually come back just to connect with my sons. Don't watch it until the playoffs. Was a Packers fan forever, but now that Rodgers is gone, and Rodgers is the one that made the comment.
I was trying to remember which one.
Yeah, it was Rodgers. But, sorry, Eagles fly, go birds, go baby. Sorry, dude. We don't like that. We are not, Cowboys fans. Sorry, of course. Anyway,
which means, I'm just going to tell you, Susan, that means that you are against God's team. I'm just telling you, that's why we had a hole in Texas Stadium. So God could watch his favorite team.
The Eagles. The Eagles is the national bird. Sorry.
can you imagine, though? I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, and I was so cheering for the Eagles, and it just felt weird. I could think was, do you remember years ago? I can't even remember when it was. I think early 90s when they threw the ice balls at the Cowboys when they were leaving the stadium. I don't know if you remember. Anyway, that was seared in my memory. And so I'm picturing that in the back of my mind as I'm cheering for the Eagles and going, I feel dirty. I'm not supposed to do this. I do love, by the way, the Wahlberg movie. What's that? Invincible. And wasn't it the Eagles that he played for?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, so let's go back. So you're a federal employee.
About the commercials and all that. And the people I were hanging with were older people, and they were like, well, who's this halftime person? I said, foul-mouthed rapper, you don't even want to watch it. So anyway, that's my piece about that. But anyway, I think I heard you correctly, and I think you said wait till, all right, first of all, a lot of corruption, a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse. Government's become a behemoth. Yes, I am cheering what's happening with those, so I'll just put that disclaimer up front. However, we got just a word of caution. I don't think they're going to come in and fire every single person in the executive branch, of which I am an employee of. And I will just say, we still need good people to continue operations. And just one point, I have seen extremely hardworking people, and I'm in the lower rank. I have extremely hardworking, dedicated people that have worked round the clock, early hours to late at night. And I've seen people that, fit that motto of like lazy government workers. So there's a huge parameter room for definitely cut back, definitely waste, fraud, and abuse. But, we got to be careful. We're not going to come in and eliminate, every single employee under the Department of Defense. I mean, it's just not going to happen. We need people to keep the operation going. So I support the men and women in uniform, and I'm proud of that. And that's just what I wanted to say.
No, that's good, Susan. But and I don't think you can go in and fire everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the president should have the power to do that. Should have the should be able to direct his people to clean house. And I know that means some people that are, you know, hardworking or whatever end up getting fired. Just like in the real world, you know, if you're on the wrong side of the you know, superintendent or whatever, and they may be wrong for firing you, but you got to have a chain of command, and when there's no chain of command, and you take away the ability for the president to come in and reduce the workforce and fire people that aren't working on the agenda in the direction that he wants to go, then you put you create chaos. The inmates end up running the asylum, and it becomes what we have now, which is so incredibly inefficient. But I no doubt, Susan, there's good people there. Of course, I have, you know, Patriot Academy graduates that are working in state government as bureaucrats on the state side and then on the federal side. And it's one of the things I tell them at Patriot Academy. We need good people to go into government, not just as public servants that get elected, but also as you know, bureaucrats. Now, I guess I say that word so much in the negative that it sounds like a pejorative to call somebody a bureaucrat. But in reality, having government employees that have a public servant mentality is part of our mission at Patriot Academy. We want to raise up a generation that has a George Washington servant leader mentality, where you go in to actually serve. Whether you're doing it as the elected person that ran and you were on the ballot and you got elected and now you're serving, or you're going in as a chief of staff, or you're going in, as an IRS agent, or you're going in as a law enforcement agent, or you're going in as an administrative aide, or whatever it might be. Having that public servant attitude and mindset, and just like in the free market, just like in any other business, that, you know, there isn't job security. There's no such thing as job security. Your job security is your ability to provide a good service, and sometimes you get a raw deal and you lose a job for the wrong reasons, and sometimes, you know, you might have deserved to lose that job. So that's just the real world, and it should apply to government just like it applies to any other business. And you have to give the people that have been elected to go in and make the decisions about the direction of that company, if you will, that agency, but that, and sticking with the analogy, that company, have to have the ability to choose personnel in order to do that. So go Cowboys. No, Susan, great call. 100% enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break. We got more calls coming up. And if you want to be a part of it, you can call in to 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How is that? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. And as you can imagine, once she meets her child inside the womb and hears the heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of people like you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do all of this. The cost of a dinner will save a life. The most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible. They go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued. You can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing's for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life, because life is a miracle. Please donate today. Your best gift. Do it today. Dial #250 and say the word baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Talking Super Bowl, talking the Super Bowl of politics, which of course is the presidential race and what the president is doing right now to just absolutely clean house. Long way to go, but really positive steps. And man, I'm hearing some music to my ears. I love this headline. This is from the Epoch Times. Let's see, is this today or the weekend? This is the 11th. Yeah. So Trump says FEMA should be terminated. President Donald Trump accused the agency of mismanaging disaster relief funds, disobeying orders, and favoring Democrat-led areas. Trump says FEMA should be terminated. Folks, I've been saying FEMA should be terminated for 20 years. FEMA is unconstitutional. It is absurd to think that the federal government is going to do better at managing a disaster in your area than your local people. Now, I'll give you a small example of this. Got a friend in, and a pastor friend in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Tornado comes through there years ago, and the neighbors help neighbors. He gets out, and he's got a ranch there, gets his tractor out, goes to move trees off the roads and help neighbors get trees out of their driveways and all this stuff, and FEMA won't let him in to these areas, won't let him go help. You know, that's the kind of stupid stuff that FEMA has done for years. Now, that's a small example. They did the same kind of stuff in North Carolina, prevented people from being able to get into certain areas where they were going to be able to help. And it's always these arrogant federal, you know, just like FBI agents, when they show up and say, we're in charge now, the feds are here to take over. The local people should be the ones in charge of these kind of things, both law enforcement and disaster relief. And just as a numerical example of this, I think I remember at one point there being something like $20 billion that either Speaker Johnson or someone announced that they were finding to send into North Carolina. This was before Trump was sworn in. And all I could think was $20 billion for FEMA to go waste most of it and get a little bit of it to the people that help, whereas if you had left that in the hands of Americans, we're the most gracious, giving, benevolent, generous people that the world has ever known. We will give. We will send in people to help. In fact, my friend Steve Maxwell, that runs Citizens Defending Freedom and Remnant Alliance out of Florida, I mean, he had truckloads and helicopters and fuel and all of this going in, truckload after truckload after truckload. You know, from businesses donating this stuff and you know, individuals organizing this to get in there and help. They did better, did more, made more of a difference, helped more people than FEMA ever could have dreamed of doing, and they did it with private dollars. Private volunteers going in and doing that. So that $20 billion shouldn't have even been sent. It's not yours to give. That's the old Davy Crockett line from whenever they were, you know, helping with some disaster that had happened in D.C. And he said it, and Crockett went back home, and a constituent said to him, it wasn't yours to give. You should not have been appropriating that money. You were taking from we the people to go spend it on this disaster. Those people locally should have been the ones to take care of that, and individuals that wanted to help could help from all over the nation. It's the same way with the fires in LA. It's the same way with all of these disasters that happen. I get it. They're disasters. They're awful. I mean, tsunamis happen around the world. What happens? The U.S. is the first one there to help and to serve. And it's the private organizations. It's Franklin Graham and Samaritans. It's all of these private groups do such a better job. If you want to spend tax dollars, which I don't think you should be, but if you want to spend tax dollars, give that to those private groups and let them go in and be the ones to help. So I am with President Trump on this. FEMA should be terminated completely. Now, I know Kristi Noem said over the weekend that what they're talking about doing is block granting that money to the states. So if they're still going to spend the hundreds of billions of dollars on these disasters through the federal level, which means a bunch of it's going to get, you know, bureaucratic swiping it and the swamp eating up a bunch of it. But at any rate, all of that to say, FEMA should be terminated. It is not a proper federal government expenditure of money. Let the states deal with their own disasters. Neighboring states and other Americans and people from around the world are welcome to help, and it's yours to give. If you want to give and you want to help, as you should. You can be like Ron DeSantis as a governor and have all of your linemen for your electrical companies ready to go whenever Georgia gets hit or some other state gets hit, and Florida doesn't only take care of their situation themselves, they help other neighboring states. I mean, that's the way it should work. We don't need government bureaucrats. And I've watched this. I mean, when Katrina happened, the amount of money that FEMA wasted on the trailers and everything else, it was mind-boggling how much waste happened. But it was grift. The people that got to sell the federal government the trailers, the people that got to be the consultants to help, you know, move the trailers. I mean, all of that, it's all grift. And that's what Elon Musk is uncovering in all of these different areas. So let's put Elon on FEMA and see what comes up whenever that gets exposed, and see what Doge can do with FEMA as well. Okay, sorry, I saw that headline. I had to rant a little bit. Let's get back to the phones. Jerry in Texas is calling in. Jerry, you're up next, man. Go ahead.
Hey, brother. I'm going to rant for a minute. I got some questions because this is what drives me nuts. Texas is trying to pass a school choice bill for parents, which, as a parent of four children who educate special needs children and private school children, and I've been involved. This drives me nuts. Superintendents from Bryan College Station, ISD, head to Austin to fight school voucher bill. Now, Moran, if they truly want to help education and educate children, why are they going to fight against it when, if they read the bill, the governor already said it's not going to take any money away from the school, and it's going to help parents choose how to educate their children? Because everybody already knows, if you're paying attention, the Board of Education, right, the Department of Education has failed every metric that's been set since 1979 and has yet to be able to pass to say, hey, we set a higher standard in educating people's children. But no, let's let the parents decide how to educate their children. Why would the local school system want to be able to give parents a choice when the Declaration and the Constitution says they're our children? We should be able to educate them in the manner for which we see fit. So my question is, where can I get some information? Because I'm going to Austin myself. I'm signing up to go talk to the committee to go ahead and rant and rave against this, because this bill has to pass for parents to have a right, which should already be given, to them to educate their children.
Well, brother, thank you, first of all, for going and testifying for the bill. Always err on the side of competition and freedom and the parents being able to choose, which is what this bill will help to make happen. To answer your question, I think these superintendents and these school employees on our government, on our taxpayer money. So remember, they're being paid by us with our taxpayer dollars, usually outrageous salaries. They're being paid by us to now go lobby against us. It's another issue. You know, taxpayer funded lobbyists is another major battle that needs to be fought. My buddy Rep Nate Schatzline's all over that one. I hope that one gets eventually gets done. But on the school choice thing, Jerry, first of all, I just encourage you to just get up and say exactly what you just said. Just say, listen, why should I not be able as the parent to direct those dollars to how my kid's going to be best served for that education? And if these superintendents actually cared about the kids, they wouldn't be trying to protect their own budgets and their self-interest. If they cared about the kids, they'd say, what we care about is the kid getting educated. Whether they get educated at our school or somebody else's school, the parent should decide which place is best. It's kind of like me when I talk about our self-defense program. I absolutely believe we have the best instructors on the planet. I think our constitutional defense program is the best handgun defense class you could go through anywhere in the country. But I always tell people, I say, listen, come get trained with us if you can. But if you can't, or if you choose to go somewhere else, just get trained. Get educated, get trained. In the same way, we should say, I would love for that kid to go to my school. If I have a school, I would love for that kid to go to my school. But just get educated where it's best for you. And then it comes back to the big question everybody should ask on every government policy. Two words: who decides? Who decides? Who makes the decision? Is it going to be the parent? Or is it going to be this superintendent from Bryan College Station? Is it going to be some bureaucrat? Is it going to be the commissioner of education? The parent should decide what's best for their kid. And it is impossible for a lot of parents to be able to give their kid the best education because they don't have the money to both pay the property taxes that are out of this world, and they're paying it even if they're renting an apartment. You're still paying the property tax. It's all on the price of the beer. So you're paying for the property tax. And most people can't afford to pay the property tax and turn around and pay for education, because then you're double paying. You're paying for your kid's education through the property tax, and you're turning around and having to try to pay for a private school or homeschooling books or whatever it might be. So for a lot of parents, they can't do that. What competition does, what school choice does, everywhere it's ever been tried, is it empowers the parent to take those dollars and choose where the child will be educated, which creates competition, which lowers the price of education for everyone and increases the quality of education for everyone. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Everybody should be cheering that on. Competition does that in any field, in any area, for any product. When you have competition, the price is going to come down and the quality is going to go up. Across the board, that's just basic economics. When you don't have competition, when you have a monopoly on any product, or in this case, the product is education, the price always goes up and the quality always goes down. And that's why the public education system has gotten so bad. They've had this monopoly for so long, and the only people that can actually choose other than their local public school system are the people that have enough money to both pay for the public school system through their property tax and pay for private education, which means for the public school, they want you to leave because they still get the money from the property taxes, but they don't have to educate your kid. Now you go off to private school and they get to take your money through your property taxes and spend it on other kids or spend it on whatever they want. So it's been a monopoly that has favored a system that doesn't have to improve, that gets to give in to all the woke, left-wing Marxist DEI CRT nonsense and have no consequences for it because they never lose the money. They keep getting the money no matter how bad a job they do, but not if competition happens. That's why these superintendents are so against competition. That's why they hate school choice. That's why they have defeated it in Texas, even though 65% of Texans have wanted this since I was in the legislature 2 decades ago. That hasn't changed. You still have almost 70% now of Texans wanting school choice. In the states that have done it, in Louisiana and these other states that have done school choice, it has been a big win for the parents, for the kids, and for the school systems because the competition has made everybody do better. So I am, obviously, I'm ranting. Jerry, you got me going. You said you were going to rant, and I took over the rant. But I'm thankful that you're going. Thank you for heading down there. Please do go testify. Please let your state legislator know, whoever your particular rep or senator is. This is going to be a fight all the way down to the last vote in Texas. They have managed to kill it for decade after decade after decade, and we finally have a chance to get it done. We got a bunch of new state reps and that are pro-school choice, that are pro-parents making the decision. And listen, parents that don't want this, if you're afraid of government regulation, God bless you. Say no. Fine. Don't take the money. You get to not participate. There's nothing about this that forces you to participate. But what's going to happen is, even if you don't take the money, all these other parents that now can homeschool or private school, and they get to take their kid somewhere where the kid actually gets educated, now they're going to join your voice in saying no regulation. So this increases the political power of those who do not want homeschools or private schools to be regulated. So it's actually going to help you even if you're against it. So this is a huge, huge thing to happen for Texas. I'm thrilled to see it. We're seeing it grow all over the country. I've been a big fan of this, you know, since I understood economics, since I understood the power of competition and the corruption that comes when you have a monopoly and just the rot in the culture that happens when you allow people to have a monopoly on any kind of government service or process. It's one reason I like private competition for even government services, whether that's providing the inspection services or providing private prisons and that kind of stuff. I mean anytime you can have the private market come in and compete with a monopolistic system, it's going to be good for everyone. Will there be waste? Of course. There's waste now. There's massive amount of waste. What do you think Doge is uncovering at the federal level? We need it to happen at the state level in every state as well. But of course, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be, fraud. There's going to be waste. That's going to happen because of human nature. It's going to happen in every one of these systems. But you will have less of it when you have competition because the parents will be screaming for the money to get to the classroom, to get to the kid. And with competition, your scream matters. Right now, when you scream at your school board, when you scream at the local level, it might matter a little bit. But if you don't have the power to take the money with your kid when you take your kid out, your voice doesn't matter that much. You introduce school choice, where when you get upset with that school board or that teacher, that school district, and you decide to take your kid and the money goes with them, ha, your voice really matters now, which means the school's going to listen to you, which means the school's going to stop the DEI CRT nonsense. They're going to start teaching pro-America stuff. They're going to start making sure your kid can read, write, and do arithmetic again, that they understand history and that they're a good citizen, which is what education is supposed to be all about. So competition, yes. I'm sorry to everybody else that called in that I left you on hold. Jerry got me going. So Jerry, it's your fault. Anyway, God bless everybody. Have a great day. Walker will be back with you tomorrow. I'll see you on Thursday. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.